Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So a really, really good day in Chicago baseball yesterday. Alongside the great Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan. Cubs get a doubleheader sweep of the Dodgers. That would be the World Series defending champion Dodgers. Take that. And my guy Hoodie, pre, post, White Sox blowout, and right back here ready to play hard today.
Absolutely. I was just happy that we had something positive for Chicago baseball last night. So it starts, the day starts with Clayton Kershaw. And you see that and you say, oh God. Nothing against Hendricks, but it's like, it is Clayton Kershaw, right?
And then you know Bauer's at night.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So you're watching, right? And you're saying, okay, this might be a problem. No matter what, it's the Dodgers still. They're the champions. And so the old axiom of getting to a starting pitching, a pitcher early, the Cubs were able to get that. And they knocked out Kershaw in the first inning. I was like, wait, is this the playoffs? That's the only time you see Kershaw underachieve, right? Usually, right?
Right.
But the Cubs and their attack, I just like the way they got after Kershaw. And after surrendering four runs, I'm thinking, he's coming back, right? No, he's done. TKO, first round.
Did you see him in
Cubs
the
dugout? Cubs knocked him out.
In the dugout?
Take that.
Yeah. He's sitting in the dugout. I'm like, boy, he just looks like he lost his best friend. And then I hear the announcers go, I believe he's done for the day. Most pitches in one inning in his career. Shortest start of his career. Wow. That was awesome.
It was, because you're not used to seeing that, right? And yes, I saw him looking at the iPad trying to figure out, like, where did I go wrong? How did I give up all these bases? What happened, right? He was distraught. You can understand, because he's one of the best in the game. Like, how does this team knock me out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, we can't bury the lead with Kyle Hendricks. Sensational.
Outstanding.
That's what you've been waiting for, right?
Yeah.
We were wondering, is he tipping his pitches? He's better than that. He's like this kind of hybrid Greg Maddux type, in which he's not going to throw 90, he gives you 85 on the black and just kind of moves it around. He was very good against the Dodgers in game one.
Move it in, move it out, up,
I liked it.
Down. Yeah, he was great. And he threw a couple of changeups that were just dirty. Dirty. And then in the nightcap, it's 1-0. Here comes Kimbrel, and he gives up the home run to Max Muncy.
Of course.
You're like, you've got to be kidding me. This guy's been really good all season, and that happens. Then they score two in extra innings.
Yes.
They get the man on second to start the inning. There's a run. And then Justin Turner golfs one out to left. My wife's like, all right, can you turn the TV off, or do you have to do a recap? I'm like, oh, I got to do the recap. I'm staying up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Javi Baez, two-run jack. Game time.
See?
And then David Bote with the game winner. Danny's guy.
David Bote coming through. And in Vegas, right, you see that line, Trevor Bauer against Thompson? There's no shot.
What was the line on that game?
I have no idea. But you would clearly take the Dodgers in that spot, right?
Like, if you had played a three-team parlay yesterday, Cubs, White Sox, and laid the run line with the White Sox, no shot are you thinking you got a chance to cash that parlay.
Remember, in game two, Bauer's, like you said, is on the other side, right? 4 1/3, 4 hits, 7 strikeouts, just 1 earned run.
And Hayward took him deep.
See, but you look at that and say, there's no way the Cubs are going to win this one. This will be a split doubleheader.
No question.
Not the case.
Danny, can you look up what the odds were? Scoresandodds.com probably has it. The odds yesterday, the line on the White Sox laying the run line, and the Cubs on the money line to win both games. Because if you put those three in a parlay and added in the easy one, the Carolina Hurricanes, on the puck line, wow, that would have paid a ton.
And for the White Sox, from that standpoint, Danny, do you have that there?
I've got it right here, gentlemen. The run line was White Sox -1.5 at +148.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And then the Cubs on the money line. They had to be dogs in both games.
The Kershaw game, the Cubs on the money line.
Now, see, that's when you do your all-Chicago bet.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Although you played the Hurricanes.
No. Oh. Get the Hawks out of there. I mean baseball. That would have ruined it. Yeah. I mean baseball. Move the Bulls and the Hawks out of there.
Yeah, you're gone.
No, they poison your parlay. Don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
The Cubs on the money line is just +101.
In the game one?
Yeah.
And what about game Kershaw. Two? Game two, Bauer had to be -175. He had to be.
I mean, you got the two best pitchers in that rotation.
Bauer was at the close -241.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
If you had played Cub, White Sox run line, three-team parlay.
Yes.
That would have paid really well.
And then on the other side of town, the White Sox, after a rain delay, takes on the Cincinnati Reds. I'm Jonathan Hood for the ESPN 1000 Chicago White Sox Network. Dominance. That's what the White Sox provided in their first game of the series against the Cincinnati Reds as they win by the score of 9-0. A slaughter at the Great American Ballpark. This was the Dylan Cease game. Sox star Dylan Cease earned the second victory of the season, striking out 11 in 6 innings. Not only did Cease pitch well, but he helped his own cause because he went 3-for-3 with a run. Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu, they combined for 6 RBIs. The Sox will take on the Reds. That'll be 11 a.m. Central pregame with yours truly. 11:30 first pitch right here on the ESPN 1000 White Sox Network. I had to read that for like the affiliates. My little GN
so
report.
Great.
So that's what happened.
I did that
night.
For 25 years.
Yeah, that was my affiliate breakdown.
So great.
You can be able to hear the White Sox on your station, part of the ESPN 1000. White Sox Network.
Pretty good.
Good night from Chicago.
All right, I got to be back here in 4 hours. I'm out.
So that's what, and it was the Dylan Cease show for sure. So all this talk about you got to have Robert, you got to have Aloy. The secret weapon is Cease. Take that.
3 hits.
There's your guy.
Yeah.
Would you rather, now here's the question. Meller, would you like having a big spot? Runner scoring position, would you rather have Dylan Cease? Or would you rather have Lory Garcia or Billy Hamilton?
Billy Hamilton was the one I was. Yeah, at this point, I think you have to go Dylan Cease.
Damn right.
Wow.
5 years of history with Lory Garcia and
We'd like
Billy
to
Hamilton.
Announce Dylan Cease will be starting in left field.
Yeah. Well, we just thought that we could have Cease out there and use his bat.
Wait, Tony.
And, you know, just need a single right here. That's all we need is a single. Tony.
Oh, my God.
But it was good, man. Dylan Cease. This is the Cease that we've been waiting for. I've been saying this a lot, is that the Cease that we saw, Cap, I know he's got good stuff. You know he's got good stuff. Meller, JR, DZ, they all know. We all know he's got good stuff. He doesn't know it. But right. The last couple of outings, he's coming into his own.
You notice how he nibbles?
Nibble.
I can grab it for you, but I had him on, if I can plug myself here, White Sox Weekly on Saturday. Had Dylan Cease on, and he talked about having a conversation with Lance Lynn prior to the Detroit start when he kind of got this role going. And he gave Lance Lynn a lot of credit for kind of giving him some feedback and helping him figure out exactly what he needs to do it. So I think you're right, Hoodie. Hopefully he's finally figured it out now.
Yeah,
I hope he's turned the corner.
Because I watched him pitch a game, it was last season, and first inning. Oh, my God. 101, 99, 98, 100, 101, 99, 100. Like, this guy's ridiculous. Then he throws that nose-to-toes 9-to-5 breaking ball. You're like, jeez.
A little Bert Blylevin.
Holy smokes. That thing's diving and sliding. But he's nibbling at the corners then when he gets, like, 2 strikes, and all of a sudden it's 3-2, and he gives up a hit or a walk.
Yeah, you don't get those calls, pal. You're Dylan Cease.
Exactly.
You're nibbling in the corners. I don't want him to hit it. Like, what do you mean? No, you give him the express. Say, hey, here's a fastball.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Catch up to this.
Right.
Take that. That's what you do.
And if you hit it, you hit it.
Nibbling in the corners like you're Hendricks. Like, if you're Hendricks, like, well, it's 85, and it's coming in there slow, and it's going to paint the corners. Like, he's very fine with that. Mm-hmm. Dylan Cease, who are you?
Right.
Like, I'm not giving you that call. Who are you? Throw the fastball.
Correct.
So the Tiger game and then last night tells me something good. Out of all the issues with the White Sox, Cap, somehow, some way, you've got at least two guys that are Cy Young contenders through the first month. You got Rodon.
It's crazy.
It's that's not what I expected at all. Baseball.
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 Why we love it.
And what about you, pal? Now, let's not bury the lead. Cubs and Sox with a great night. But you too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you.
Our Nationals team took out the Sea Dogs 3-2. 3-2. Yeah.
All right. How did you do, pal?
I was 0-2. Grounded to short. And I struck out on a really good breaking ball. The guy got me. It was a good, really good pitch.
What, two at-bats. Did they pull you out in the seventh?
I played the first five innings at second. And then our manager played the last two innings at second. I think I had three plays at second.
How'd you do?
I handled them.
Yeah.
I had one. It came up, like, to my right. I knocked it down, and I had a guy who ran like me, and I just flipped it to second and got the out.
Got him! Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, the force out and the double play. The force out.
Yeah.
To second. Good.
Yeah. We won 3-2, and our guy, Kurt Brooks, the starting pitcher, that guy can deal.
Now, how was Ginsburg? Was he good yesterday?
There was no Ginsburg.
No Ginsburg.
I'll bet you I had at least eight guys in the game walk up and go, hey, I was listening this morning. Tell your partner I'm not Jewish.
They know it's a joke, right?
There's like 98% of the league is not Jewish.
They do know that's a joke,
you
right?
You say it's a joke, but to most non-Jewish people, if you call them Jewish, that's an insult. They're like, no, I'm not Jewish. Don't say it.
Crazy. But it was a lot of fun. So our friend Jim Memolo came out to watch. We had listeners show up. I see these guys there. And now all of a sudden I'm in the on-deck circle and these guys go, hey, take that. I said, oh, what's up? You guys have the next game here? They're like, no. We just came because you heard you and Hoodie and everybody talking about it, so we came to watch you.
See? See? Now you're bringing people to a game. You
pretty
see
funny.
That? As we get warmer and warmer, more and more games, it's going to be sold out.
Next Wednesday, Bensenville, we're playing in Bensenville, and I'll be pitching. So
people will be there. That'll be sold out. That'll be a hot ticket.
Hot ticket.
Danny, get all the tickets for that.
Yeah.
And try to sell them.
Yeah.
See if we can do our
own. I'll stand on the corner scalping them.
See if we can do our own cryptocurrency for that game. Start our own little market. So, but it was fun. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Danny's face.
Danny's like.
He's already done.
Nobody cares.
Well, he came in this morning, and my first question was, how was your baseball game yesterday? Meaning, like, how did you do? And he went on to tell me about everyone but himself. I was like, Cap, all we care about is how many errors did you have?
I didn't have any errors.
Right.
I know. I was let down. But then he said he was 0-2, so I felt better.
Did you break in those new Bryce Harpers?
I did, and they're awesome shoes. And then I got that sweet bat at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah, how's that?
They don't allow metal bats. I have to return it.
Oh, just wood, huh?
Wood bat league.
So what did you use? Someone else's?
Yeah. My buddy Chuck Scheit's bat.
There's no hits in that bat. Gotta get your own.
Gotta get my own.
Yeah,
get going today.
Get some with some hits in it.
That's it. Excuse me. I need to return this $150 bat. Do you have any that have hits in them?
Yes.
And it's got to be wood.
Yes, this is a 4-for-5. We like this one. Do you like this one, sir?
It's kind of a...
Hello.
Mr. Eddie's father? Would you like this?
Hello? Would you like it?
A little bit of a personal question. Can I use your wood today?
Exactly.
No? Yeah.
Is that infringing? Isn't there like a code?
There's a man code. Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you saw Jim Emelow. That's a great guy. Jim's so funny.
He's awesome. He's awesome. Anyway, two good Cubs wins. Sox and Cease impressed big time. And what was the most impressive thing we saw at a baseball game yesterday? Some cool stuff. It's all coming up next.
Take that.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Mono deals the 1-0. This one a liner into right. And Cease has a third hit. It'll be the bases loaded as they hold Vaughn at third. But Dylan Cease is 3-for-3, DJ.
Remember I mentioned he's challenging Yermín for the record straight hits to start a big league career?
So steals the 2-2. Called strike 3. He gets Winker looking. ninth strikeout of the night for Dylan Cease. He poured a heater over the plate. Winker is furious about the call, but this is a strike all the way.
White Sox win. That's Connor McKnight on the White Sox Network. My guy Hoodie will be on the pregame call today at 11 a.m. They call that the Businessman Special. The 11:35 first pitch in Cincinnati. So grab yourself a big bowl of Skyline.
Don't do that.
That stuff's awful.
Oh,
I would not give that to Yoshi, Sparky, and Stanley, let alone eat it myself.
I'm with you on that. That's bad.
Oh, the worst.
Cincinnati Skyline Chili.
It looks like a night after a long night out. What you end up?
Yes, I've seen Skyline Chili in the gutters of a lot of places on like Clark Street.
Yeah, exactly.
At 1 o'clock
it's
in the
on
morning.
The ground. Skyline Chili.
Oh god!
Barf. That's horrible.
It's so nasty.
Nasty. Let's go to the phone. Steve's in Lombard. Hey, Steve. What's up, Sparky?
Wow, you guys said it before the first commercial there. Ah, baseball, what a game.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, man.
So good.
A couple key stats. The Cubs start game two. Their starting pitcher makes $40 million. Our guy makes a prorated from the minimum. And like, oh my gosh, he competes with the guy making $40 million. How great is that?
It was awesome. You're talking about Keegan Thompson.
Yes.
Very cool.
Very good. He looked very good. He looked like he started to hyperventilate it towards the end there, but he looked very good. And another key stat in baseball is batting average with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. We were pitiful. Pitiful. Yeah. And we still
pulled
it out.
Two for 22?
2 for 20.
2 for 20.
2 for 20, yeah.
We were 0 for 17 at one point.
Crazy.
And then Dylan Cease goes 3 for 3 as a hitter. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome to watch. You have a great day, Stevie.
Okay, can I say one more?
Sure.
I want to say happy birthday to something. Happy birthday, John. Can I do that over the airwaves?
You just did.
Oh, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You're the man. See ya.
Bye.
Oh, that phone, Danny. Oh, the landline. There he was in his kitchen. Picked it up.
Got his coffee in front of him.
He says, you know, it's on the wall. They pick up. They got 312-332. Hi, guys.
Did he have a rotary?
Oh, of course. That's why it took him so long. He would have called earlier. Oh, the glorious phone. You know, I know we did not win the landline poll.
Yes, win it. Do you know what the results were?
I don't remember the last, no.
90% of the audience does not use a landline.
But the 10% that do call us. That's a difference. I mean, the glory. And that makes Danny happy, though. The glorious landline. Ah, the clean line. Ah.
I know everybody wanted Gar Pax out of the Bulls front office, but I will say this. John Paxson's landline in his office was the clearest, cleanest phone in the history of the world. Like, you would look forward to a John Paxson interview just because you could literally hear his lips smacking together when he was talking.
Love it.
By the way, Charlie Blackman just called, said, tell Jeff Meller, take that. See what he did last night? 3-run walk off to win it.
Future
Charlie
Sox.
Freaking yeah, Blackman.
In Coors Field. Sure.
Oh, I didn't know that was in a major league stadium.
Does the altitude come with if you trade for Charlie Blackman?
Whoa.
Stop yourself.
What do you mean stop myself? What do you want? You want the White Sox to trade Dylan Cease for Charlie Blackman?
I didn't say that.
What do you want to give up for Charlie Blackman?
I'm going to take on his money. I wanted to give him much at all.
They won 11-0 last night.
You're talking about the Giants-Colorado Rockies game?
Yeah, I just know that he hit a 3-run home run to fuel their victory.
Was it a walk-off or was it
I thought I saw walk-off up on the TV.
Wait. Blackman's with the Rockies, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And
the Giants won 12-4.
They did the first game. It was a doubleheader, so.
Yeah, it was the second.
There was a second game.
Because the Giants were up 10-0 in the first.
In the first inning, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, second game.
Okay.
Back to the landline.
So you're saying with the landline.
Yeah.
You were saying about the Cubs.
But you know what? If you have the Comcast triple play, or the Xfinity triple play.
Okay, listen. If there's ever a parent whose kid's getting diagnosed with ADD and they don't understand what it means, play them that last 1 minute of our radio show.
Hey, man, what do you want me to tell you?
We have a tease. What was the most impressive thing you saw yesterday, Cap, at baseball?
You were saying about the landline.
I thought the play I made at second was the most impressive thing I saw.
squirrel.
Knock the ball down, the presence of mind to stay with it and flip it to the shortstop, Bobby.
What's that? Squirrel.
Yeah, exactly. That's who I am, man. Let me tell you.
Well, he says to talk about the landline.
Who?
Danny.
I know.
But, and then before that, it's the Cubs. So here's what you teach them. If you're a Chicago sports fan and you're going to the bar afterwards, you always teach your son or daughter to give the attendant in the bathroom a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Always tip the guy in the bathroom.
And
does that make sense, Danny? Would you teach the kid to give a dollar at the bathroom? Attendant?
I would. I would beg those restaurants not to have attendants. I never understood why that needed to be in Wrigleyville. I get it at, like, Chicago Cut or Gibson's. That makes sense. I never got it in a gross bar in Wrigleyville. But if a man or woman is an attendant in your bathroom, yes, definitely. Hand them a little something for their efforts.
Yeah, my guy John up at Harry Carey's. He's been there forever. He's awesome. You got to take care of John.
So I would say tipping is something that is important to teach your kids.
And the reason that my fine friend Jonathan Hood brought this up is last night there's a home run in the, or I think it was game one, there's a home run in the Cubs game for the Dodgers. This father gets the ball in the bleachers. He's got his, how old was that kid, Danny? Three?
Three, four maximum.
Maximum. He picks up his son, he gives him the ball. He picks up the son in his arms. They walk down to the first row of the bleachers, and he has the kid throw the ball back out of the field. Dude, that was phenomenal.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I saw it. Michael Cerami, who's a great follow on Twitter from Bleacher Nation.
Yes.
And Brett Taylor's Bleacher Nation.
Pitch for the White Sox. Remember him?
Michael Cerami or Brett Taylor?
Michael Soroka, he said.
No, Cerami.
Is that Soroka?
That's where you were going.
Is that Soroka?
No. Squirrel.
Oh, God.
So he gets his 3-year-old or 4-year-old to throw the ball back on the field. So it got us to talking today in the IDOT bullpen.
Yes.
About, and by the way, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that we like to teach our kids that are Chicago traditions?
Yes.
Like no ketchup on a freaking hot dog.
What if your kids like that, though?
My kids were not allowed to put ketchup on a hot dog.
Do you ever think they did behind your back?
Nope.
No? Because they know you'd know, right?
Correct.
Somehow you would.
Somehow. How's your day, boys? I choked on a piece of hot dog. Yeah, because you had ketchup on it. I told you I'd get you.
That's because you know everybody, and you'd find out somehow.
Somehow.
So no ketchup on a hot dog. I say tip the people that are, you know, I'm sure.
Your bathroom attendant.
Well, that, or usually there might be a tip jar at places where you can get a hot dog or a Polish or whatever at guaranteed rate. So I think tipping is important.
Agreed. But that's not
can be tradition.
But not a Chicago tradition, because if Jonathan Hood was raising his family in Seattle, you'd still teach the same thing because Bob Hood taught you that.
Yeah, I would catch him to catch the fish with both hands if I was in Seattle.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I would
do. Pike Place Fish Market.
Yes.
What else, Danny?
Well, I was thinking along the lines of sports. The throw it back is a very Wrigley thing, right?
Yep.
The other team hits a home run, you throw it back. The dude did great parenting by teaching his kid. One that I would teach my kids is the Bears timeout routine. You know, the announcer goes, there's a timeout.
Where?
On the field.
The great Jim Rebant.
It gets annoying after, like, the 10th time it happens at a game. But, like, the first one or two, everybody's into it. I think go Cubs go at the end of a Cubs,
no
Cubs
question.
Game is a tradition. Of course, I'm a Cubs fan that I get behind. And I look forward to one day standing with my kids in the outfield singing go Cubs go.
Chelsea Dagger at a hockey game. But you don't sing it, but you all kind of sway and dance.
If you're doing hockey, the tradition is to get loud and crazy during the national anthem.
That's
right?
A great
go to a Hawks game, and Jim Corneliusson is doing his pointing to the flag like he does every time, like he's never seen it before.
You know why he does that?
I'm sure you've told me.
I don't think I have. I've told you a lot of stories 700 times because my memory's not great.
Squirrel.
Correct. Jim Corneliusson told me he was on the ice, and he's singing, and he had his hand down. Like, just kind of his hand pointing out because he was talking about the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And these three older women were at the game. They were season ticket holders. They were best friends. And they said to him, why don't you point at the flag? He goes, I do every time. We don't see it. So the next time he kind of did it a little higher. And they came up to him again as he's coming off the ice. We didn't see it. He's like, all right, the hell with this. The next time. Hand way up in the air, and that became a tradition at the game. That's how it started.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I would say that my first tradition as a kid going to Old Comiskey was just singing Steam when a pitcher was knocked out.
Nah, nah, hey, hey.
Yeah, that was my first one as a kid at Old Comiskey. The Jim Rebant at DePaul games, at Bears games, I remember that as a kid as well.
Yeah.
He's doing that as a kid.
Because at the DePaul games, he would say, you know, the basket by Jonathan Hood, foul on 22 Zetterman, and then he'd go, Mark Aguirre for the 3-point
play.
And everybody would go nuts. Yeah, it was very cool. So there's a lot of great tradition. If you could think of one, let us know. 312-332-3776. We get the latest update on Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers. Our buddy Jason Wilde, who hosted the Aaron Rodgers show. They're like tight, tighter than tight. He's going to give us the latest. So you want to know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Pay attention, Sylvie. You might learn something. We'll be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
With my guy, Jonathan Hood, he'll be on the call of the pre and post for the White Sox on the White Sox Network today. As the Sox will complete their series with the Cincinnati Reds with a businessman special at 11:35.
Tom Waddle.
11 o'clock pregame.
Tom Waddle's Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, Tommy Waddle. I wonder how much he still cheers for them because they're not very good.
No, he's
a diehard. Do you listen to their show? He cheers openly every day.
I know, but I don't think he...
No, yeah. he's invested. I think they were off to a good start this year, and I get a nightly text about the Reds, especially because the White Sox were pounding him last night.
Yeah,
He's invested.
He is invested. I know he was back in the day.
I think over the last couple of years, too, he's actually learned the starting lineup and rotation, which is, you know, there was a time when he would just go default to the 70s Reds. Now he actually knows the entire starting lineup.
Wow. That's progress. I talked to Tommy yesterday. Mm-hmm. Love that guy. He's a good man. It's good that somebody's informed when they're working 2 to 6. Anyway, the latest on Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers, our guy, Jason Wilde, he's a teammate. He's hosted shows with Aaron. He is as tapped in as anybody, and he joins us now. Jason, good morning. How are you, man?
Great to get called up to the bigs after always being on with Waddle and Sylvie.
Thank you. We love that. So where is this thing headed? I know he talked to Mike Tirico, but he wouldn't go on camera. But, like, people that I trust that are around there go, dude, he's not coming back here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a very good possibility that he's not coming back. Now, will he at some point backtrack, or will the Packers do enough to placate him? Will the public opinion, which appears to be going against him right now pretty harshly, will that be enough to sway him? Will he think about his legacy and say, you know what, this is not how I want to be remembered? Or will he say, I don't care. I want to go somewhere else. I want to have a team do for me what Tampa Bay did for him, for Brady. It's such an interesting way that things can go a bunch of different angles. And then on top of that, it's so different than 2008. Like, I'm sure Bears fans down there are like, all right, here we go. Another drama with the Hall of Fame quarterback, and the Packers can finally experience heartbreak at quarterback. Well, Favre didn't want to come back, and the team didn't really want him back in 2008. He wanted to get to the Vikings. Rodgers, but the team absolutely wants him to come back. I talked to somebody inside the building who's pretty high up that said, basically, if this guy ain't coming back, we are effed. And that's exactly the reality for the Packers. So they need to make this work, and we'll see if they can figure out a way to do it.
Jason, just based on the poll that you and Tausch had asking your listeners, you know, which side are you on, whether it's the ownership or on Aaron Rodgers' side. Seems like many are on the side of the Packers, Mark Murphy and Gutekunst. Is that, do I read that right?
Yeah, you do. And what's, here's the struggle that I have with that. Like, absolutely, right? I have a friend who likes to say, you always side with the laundry, which is the jerseys, not the players inside them. And I get that. At the same time, and I'm seeing people saying, oh, well, he's complained about Jake Kumerow and Jordy Nelson. I mean, are these really that upsetting to him that he's complaining and his feelings are hurt? I don't think it's that. I think, and you guys know as teammates of ours now, as we've become a big family, that one of the things that some great companies and leaders do is engage everyone and get their input. That doesn't mean you do whatever, you know, Cap says, but you want to hear your thoughts before you make decisions, and they're not always going to go your way. The Packers are very much old school in that way, and it is, I'm the general manager, I'm in charge of the roster. I don't care if you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, we're cutting Jordy Nelson. You know what I mean? And so I just don't know if in 2021 with a star player, with the way the NBA has gone, which I would argue has probably gone a little bit too far in the other direction.
Agreed.
If it's unreasonable for Rodgers to want to be part of the conversation, not have final say. Don't get this twisted and think he wants like full say in personnel or anything like that. He just would like to be consulted. Maybe he can tell Brian Gutekunst something that will make him think, okay, I didn't think of that. That might be a good thing to go in that direction.
See, this is where you and I, Cap, disagree. We talked about this a lot yesterday. So Jason, I feel that no matter what, if there's a glass ceiling and the Packers are good, the Packers beat the Bears, great. Who doesn't beat the Bears, right? And so you win the NFC North and you win a playoff game, but you can't get to the mountaintop except once in the Rodgers era. To me, you keep trying. You just don't say, well, we got him, you know, we got Bakhtiari and, you know, we gave him a wide receiver. It should be fine. Here's one thing we do know. Rodgers is not Tom Brady. Tom Brady can win with an accountant and a sanitation worker and a florist and win Super Bowl championships, right? Rodgers can't. And my standpoint, Jason, has been you keep trying. You don't diss Rodgers by just getting defensive players in the first round and say, oh, it's Aaron, he'll be fine. From Cap's standpoint, he sides with management saying that there's no way I fire Gutekunst just because Rodgers says so. That's your stance, correct?
Jason, I believe that if I was the GM, I would have communicated better. Like, I read that Matt Nagy had a call before the draft with Andy Dalton, and it's Andy freaking Dalton. And then after they picked Justin Fields, he called them again. And then I heard that the offensive coordinator and the head coach of the Vikings called Kirk Cousins on Tuesday and said, hey, you're our guy. Don't be alarmed. We might take a quarterback. We don't know what round. Could be first, could be second, could be seventh. We don't know. You're our guy. Just understand this is business. We're doing it. And the Packers didn't do that. But I'm not firing Gutekunst because 12 says I should.
Right. And look, I think at this point with Rodgers not having spoken publicly, I believe that leak or that report from Charles Robinson is 100% accurate, that he can't stand Gutekunst. He does not want him to be the GM anymore. But he's in a position where if he were to decide that he wants to settle this civilly, he can walk that back. Well, I never really said that I wanted to fire. I never said that. He can say that, and he can claim that, and he's got plausible deniability on it. To me, the biggest thing is that there has been a bunch of different examples of this. It's not just not getting a call before you draft Jordan Love and him finding out while he's on with Pat McAfee on the radio. Like, he literally found out in real time, which I'm guessing he was not pleased with. I think it's pretty clear he wasn't. But it goes back to Jordy Nelson. It goes back to not re-signing Randall Cobb. Like, I think his feeling is, if you talk to me, I can tell you, look, Jordy with me can still be very productive. Jordy Nelson went to Oakland and still had 66 catches in 2018. And Brian Gutekunst decided he was washed up. Brian Gutekunst is of the school of thought, it's better to get rid of a guy a year too early than a year too late. But he says things like, after the draft, that, oh, absolutely I'd be open to Aaron sharing his thoughts. Well, then how are we here? You know, let's not do revisionist history here. Oh, yeah, I'm very open to hearing what he thinks. Well, then you should probably ask him because you never have. So I just wonder, is this going to be ugly enough to not, is it going to be not quite ugly enough to push him out the door and force him to say, sit out training camp and sit out the start of the season and to prove that he's serious about this and he gets traded? Or is it just ugly enough to affect enough change on both sides of this argument that they are able to fix this? Because I will say this, I have a lot of friends in Chicago who are big Bears fans, and they can't wait for this to completely blow up, and the Packers have to try to win with Jordan Love, who very well could be Mitch Trubisky 2, is more likely to be Mitch Trubisky 2.0 than Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers 3.0.
Well, I trust. If I'm the Packers, I'm holding on to Rodgers as much as possible because I don't want the Lindy Infante years. You want that? You want that back? I don't think so.
No, let me ask you this as we let you go. If the Packers came out and said, look, we're going to do better. We want to be better communicators. But this is Aaron's call. He will not be traded. I don't care if you call and offer us 50 number one picks. We're not trading him. He's either playing here or he can go host Jeopardy. We love him. We want him here. How would the fan base react? Pro management or go crazy against the Packers?
If they say, look, we're going to give him the extension that gives him the security that he's our guy for
yes,
the next 3 years.
And they offer to extend him 3 years.
Yeah. I don't see how public opinion supports Rodgers. I don't.
That's what I thought.
I give him everything he wants. Say we're not under no circumstances, which is kind of what they've said already. Under no circumstances are we trading him. He's our guy. I don't know how he wins that PR battle.
Agree with you 100%. Hey, man, keep up the great work. Love being your teammate.
I am sure that this will continue, and I will talk to you guys again.
Look forward to it, and have a great day.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
You too. See you, man. All right, that is Jason Wilde, who's as tapped in and dialed in. He's got a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. They hosted shows together. That guy's really, really good. Anyway, the guy that works in the afternoon with the small hands, Sylvie, wow, he embarrassed himself yesterday. He went too far. We'll hear what he had to say and what got me fired up in the IDOT bullpen this morning. That's next.
Small hand mother.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So, I guess yesterday I was busy doing something in the afternoon with Brett. I guess Sylvie was firing on me. Is that right, Danny? Because I take the Packers' side on this. And again, let me just be clear what my side is. Because I know Sylvie likes to twist things to fit his narrative. But I said that they should have done a better job communicating. But if my star quarterback comes to me and says, hey, guess what? You got to fire the GM or I'm not going to play for you anymore. Sorry. I'm going to extend your contract. You're a great player. I want you to be here. I'll make it right financially. Let's get it done. But I am not firing the GM. Players don't run the franchise. They just don't. And I guess Sylvie can't believe I'm siding with the Packers front office. Shocking. Fanboy.
Cap again. He's so out of his mind that he was rationalizing again that the Bulls wouldn't have won in 99 if
they
you brought them
have.
All back. Instead, Cap wanted the Tim Floyd era, followed by the try-hard Scott Skiles era.
Nope.
Followed by the rise and fall of the Derrick Rose era.
Nope.
Followed by more unwatchable Bulls basketball.
Nope.
We are 22 years removed from the Bulls winning championships, and they still haven't gotten back to the NBA Finals. You don't side with management. You side with the star players who got you there, and you squeeze every last drop out of star players.
Yep.
Because you know what? More times than not, you don't go from Favre to Rodgers. You go from Rodgers to Tim Floyd. And I'm hoping that's what's going to happen to the Packers.
Poor guy's just stretching right now, trying to get ready for a baseball game with his, you know, his old man baseball
team. Is he playing today?
Yeah, and you're just kicking him in the marbles.
I can't believe the owner kiss-ass mentality of not siding with a star player and still arguing in this town 22 years later that the Bulls wouldn't have won in 99. Let's bring in Tim Floyd, and let's bring in Corey Benjamin, and let's bring in Tyson and Eddie, and let's draft Marcus Fizer. Stick it up your rear end.
Sylvie, did you wake up yesterday morning and go, you know what, I'm going to embarrass myself today on a 50,000-watt blowtorch with a really awesome afternoon show? I'm going to just defecate all over myself. That's what you did. Because never did I ever say I wanted Tim Floyd. Never did I say I wanted Corey Benjamin or whatever other nonsensical names he threw out there.
Tyson and Eddie.
I simply said that team was done. And Phil Jackson has said to my face, they could have offered me $20 million a year. I was never coming back. I was trying to save my marriage. He needed that year, which he took, to try and save his marriage. He left. He and his wife, I believe her name was June, did end up getting divorced. Then he went back into coaching and coached the Lakers. Michael and Phil and everybody had an amazing run. If you think Phil wasn't any part culpable in the dismantling of what went on with the us versus them mentality, then you obviously weren't reporting on the team. And I know that you were, because I traveled with you to the NBA Finals. So I would tell you, Sylvie, you're smarter than that. A. B. I don't know if you have rolled out of bed yet in your palatial estate, or if your butler has brought you your coffee yet, but I would tell you this. You just heard Jason Wilde, who hosts a show with Aaron Rodgers, and he said, if they're truly really willing to extend his contract and Aaron plays hardball and says you got to fire the GM, public sentiment will be against Aaron Rodgers. So what you need to do is get your freaking little yellow legal pad and write down some things that might jog your memory so that you don't defecate all over yourself like you did yesterday afternoon calling me the management guy, because you just heard Jason Wilde say the majority of Packer fans would be against Aaron Rodgers. So when you start today at 2 o'clock, do all of us a favor and be better than that.
Abdallah, give me that yellow pad he suggested.
We'll be back in 2 minutes with our boss.
Take that.